are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
Great training staff. Interns, slash video coordinators, been very willing. They're in great shape, so they were very willing to compete the whole time that I was out. So they allowed me to find my game. Teammates being lenient with me, you know, I'm just being put in a good position. So I think all that combined, and then a little bit of luck, of course. So all that combined allowed myself to just flow pretty easily tonight.
And flow Reggie Jackson did. What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, January the 23rd, and Reggie's back. Some good feelings through the Detroit Pistons. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to look back at Wednesday's win against the Sacramento Kings. I've got my three takeaways, including, can Reggie Jackson be a trade piece or even a future piece for the Detroit Pistons? A little bit later on, we're going to update the playoff projections. We got some good feelings. How good are those feelings if we're thinking about getting back into the playoff hunt, which I know is something you guys, a lot of you guys, don't want to hear at all, but it's the reality of the situation. The Pistons are within sniffing distance of the Eastern Conference playoffs, as hard as it is to believe. Give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the Pistons get the win on Wednesday night at home against the Sacramento Kings, 127-106. I was in the house for the Associated Press. Pistons moved up to 17-28 on the season, 9-13 at home, and with the Orlando Magic loss, the Pistons creep a little bit closer back into the hunt for the Eastern Conference playoffs, 2.5 games behind the Brooklyn Nets for the 8th seed, Saturday's opponent, and then shortly after that, an opponent next week as well. Pistons now just 4 games out of the 7th seed behind the Orlando Magic. Pistons win the first of 4 very winnable games on this current homestand. The rest, Memphis on Friday, Brooklyn on Saturday, the new biggest game of the season. Maybe the first time this year that I've called something the biggest game of the season, but it is certainly that coming up this Saturday night. I'll be in the house for that one too. Maybe some good omens there. And then Cleveland coming to town on Monday, a chance for a little bit of a winning streak for better or for worse. But Blake Griffin, of course, the designated player exception is the other part of the news from Wednesday for the Pistons. So sounds like the league makes that determination if a guy is overwhelmingly expected to be out until July 15th. So that it does not indicate that Blake's season is completely over unless they actually use that designated player exception, as far as I understand it. But they can now get another player and use some of that money. I think it's about $9 million that they can use. Obviously, there are still the luxury tax ramifications. The Pistons are about $3,000 from right now, so they would have to trade or waive players to be able to use the designated player exception while they're still under the luxury tax. You don't anticipate this team, rightfully so, should not become a luxury tax team unless Tom Gores wants to go crazy and start the clock on the repeater taxes and all that stuff that would entail. But, no, Blake Griffin and really, you know, a 90% chance, maybe 95% chance, maybe 100% chance that he doesn't come back this year. But no Andre Drummond on Wednesday night as well. The lip laceration that he suffered on Monday night, and the non-violent performance of the Washington Wizards. No Luke Kennard, no Bruce Brown, no Tim Frazier. Bruce and Tim suffering from the flu that's going around, apparently, in the Pistons locker room. The starters on Wednesday night were Derrick Rose, Markieff Morris, Thon Maker, Svi Mykhailiuk, and Tony Snell, who I guess played 33 minutes. I was sitting courtside of this one and didn't notice Tony Snell out there. But that's just Tony being Tony. Reggie Jackson was the biggest story in this one. You heard from him at the top of the show. He played the first 2 games of the season, and really of that second game, just a few minutes, I think, into the second quarter, barely but didn't look right then. And he missed 42 games since then. But he came back on Wednesday and dropped 22 points in 19 minutes. He was really good, had a lot of energy, looked healthy. 8 of 14 from the field, a team best plus 26 in the plus-minus stats. Speaking of guys who continue to look good, Derrick Rose, 22 points, 10 straight games with 20-plus for him. That ties the longest streak, such streak, of his career, even though he passed the 11,000 career point plateau in this one. Derrick Rose has only done that 10 straight games with 20-plus one other time in his career. That was the MVP season, so if he does it again on Friday night against Ja Morant in Memphis, that means it will break that record. So an unbelievable season continues for Derrick Rose, who gets pushed to the max minutes-wise again. Not crazy about that. And I just feel like this is a golden opportunity for the Pistons to make a little bit of a franchise-changing move. Not that the return for Derrick Rose would be so significant that it becomes someone who a draft pick or a player who becomes one of your top two or three players, but maybe someone who has the chance of becoming that, but just more so that you signal to the Pistons fan base that you're willing to take a little bit of a step backwards. And obviously Rose being traded this season gives a step backwards for this year, and certainly trading Rose for next season at a desirable contract rate and foregoing all that for a real glimpse of the future, a real forward-thinking type of move would be, I think, a positive glimpse, a positive indication that this team is willing to do the right things. But to be continued on that. A game-high 23 points for Christian Wood in 25 minutes off the bench, 7 for 7 from the field. For him, in an outstanding game, got dunked hard on by De'Aaron Fox early, but then did some dunking himself and was very good. 14 points for Langston Galloway, 2 of 6 from 3. Not crazy about that. The technical foul that he got for the fast break layup that he had, and then he flexed for about 5 seconds in a motion toward, not 5 seconds, like a half a second, excuse me there, but to kind of towards the bench of the Kings, so maybe it was perceived as taunting, got teched up right there. $2,000 fine for Tex in the NBA. Tough $2,000 for Langston to lose right there, although I'll assume he appeals it and possibly gets that rescinded, but tough way to lose $2,000. 13 points for Sfia Mikhailiuk. That's, I believe, 11 of 12 games for him with over double digits. Just Sfia Mikhailiuk's strong play continues. Markieff also had 13 points in the start. 10 and 10 for Thon Maker in the start. Career high in rebounds. He's never had 10 rebounds until Thursday. He never had, I think, 8 was his career high coming into Wednesday's game. And Thon, of course, since it was his career high in rebounds and it was 10, that means it was his first ever double-double as well. Sekou Doumbouya had 4 points and 7 rebounds in 21 minutes. He did not start after starting the last 10 games. What was that for? Because he was late to the morning shoot-around. Dwayne Casey revealed that after the game and put a little bit of discipline on the 19-year-old, so that was a good thing. I think that helps the culture. You got to lay down the smackdown, let Sekou know that these are adult things that we have to do. We are adults here, professionals, all that good stuff. And, of course, Dwayne Casey, I wouldn't expect that to be a lingering thing as far as the issues and the discipline. We don't know enough about Sekou other than this to know that he's anything other than professional, and we hope, we trust that Dwayne Casey will handle these situations as professionally and as well as any head coach could. But updating the records out there, the Pistons now 9-14 against bad teams. That's not going to get it done, although an improvement from 8-14 to be sure. 3-3 against Western Conference bad teams. 3-6 against Western Conference teams in general. And then 3-3 when I'm there. I've only been in the house for 6 games so far this year. 2 as a fan, 4 as an employee of somebody. And so the Pistons 3-3 in home games that I'm there. So encourage me to go to more games. We'll do that now that the Lions season is over and I can concentrate more on the Pistons. But Sacramento, by the way, looked really bad. They are going on the toilet right now. 22 points for De'Aaron Fox, 19 for Bogdanović. We'll talk about them and the takeaways a little bit as well, as I got a few takeaways from this one. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all that sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season wrapping up, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off of everything else and back into the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we will update those playoff projections, try to put a little context into the positive feelings we have after a big victory for the Pistons on Wednesday night at home against the Sacramento Kings with a little bit of possible wins ahead, important games ahead that might get you a little bit excited about possibly getting back into the playoffs if you're that kind of person. But let's do the biggest takeaways first. From Wednesday night, you knew I was going to start with this. The third biggest takeaway, Christian Wood. I promise I'll go quick. But 23 points and 3 rebounds for Wood. That means at home he is now averaging 12 points per game and 5.8 rebounds. On the road, 7.8 points per game and 4.8 rebounds. So one more rebound per game at home. But even more decisively than that, 4.2 points per game on the road, or per game more at home than on the road, a 35% decrease in scoring when he leaves Little Caesars Arena. After the game, I was there, so I asked Dwayne Casey and Christian Wood about this. Dwayne seemed to kind of enjoy the question because it's a way to maybe even pick at a young player in a good way, in a positive way, and I don't have a problem with Dwayne doing that. Here's what Dwayne had to say.
Usually young players play better at home, and that's, I don't know the answer to that. When you get the answer to that, let me know, but over the years, guys, young players, role players play better at home versus the road. Now, his challenge is to do the same thing he does at home on the road and be consistent.
Pretty generic answer there, but, you know, not all young players struggle on the road. So I kind of took it to Christian Wood himself, and here's what he had to say.
Your numbers are a lot better at home this year. You feel a lot more comfortable playing at LCA?
Yeah, fans get me hyped up, so it helps out.
What a great question by me. I basically dropped the ball on that, just trying to pry a little bit. And really, it's a difficult question to find the right way to ask and a difficult answer to give if you're Christian Wood, because he doesn't want to just come out and say, yeah, you know, I play scared on the road, or I don't feel as comfortable on the road. It implies a negative if you're kind of owning up to it. So I can see how it's perceived as an insult, and it is maybe not an insult by the questioner, but the perception that you're not as good on the road is something that's a weakness of yours, and we'll see if that's something that gets rectified here during the home stretch. I know I hammered this point home too much, mostly because I want to be proud of myself that I made this observation in the preseason that I thought this was going to be the case for him, and it could be something to show real maturation from Christian Wood as time goes on. I don't mean it to be an insult, and I don't think it's something that's completely unusual, highly unusual, that he is this way so far, especially as a 24-year-old guy who hasn't gotten a lot of run in the NBA throughout his career. But the implication that you're not tough enough on the road, maybe that's something that will come maybe even this season a little bit better as time goes on in the second half of his first real season of NBA playing time here in the league. But the second most important takeaway from this game Wednesday is how bad were those Sacramento Kings? Their sixth straight loss right now. And it's a little bit of a cautionary tale when talking about the Detroit Pistons as well. These are lots of young players, a young coach who's not used to steering the ship in rocky roads like Luke Walton is trying to do right now. A losing culture, no doubt about that. I think they're at like 14 years straight of not making the playoffs since 2006. It's too much right now. It's too much for them to turn around. They've got a lot of talent. There's no doubt about that. De'Aaron Fox is a good player. Buddy Hield is a good player. Bogdan Bogdanovic is a good player as well. And and Marvin Bagley is another player who's going to be a nice piece for them. Of course, you can't talk about Marvin Bagley without bringing up Luka Doncic and even Trae Young, all the wonderful players that were picked off after them. And it's certainly no world where that's going to end up being a good draft pick by them, but certainly a useful player in Marvin Bagley, despite maybe some defensive limitations and whatever other limitations there are. But a really frustrating team, certainly would be for fans, checking out a lot of their Twitter world that I was checking out after the game, and you can see the frustration with their fans. They got the new arena. They were saved a little bit by Kevin Johnson, the old mayor there, doing a lot of the work there in his hometown. You keep waiting for them to make the leap, and maybe it's never going to happen. There's a lot of Atlanta Hawks in there with them. Too many young players is a problem. Those veterans, the lack of any kind of winning, that's an issue. And yes, I know that the Philadelphia 76ers are the tanking, shining example of why that's a good idea, and you should always do it. But I just think that, you know, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are special talents. Like, those guys are, yes, if you can ensure that you're going to get talents like that in the draft, then maybe tanking isn't a bad idea. However, it's more likely that you end up with the Trae Young, Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter, John Collins of the world core, or maybe De'Aaron Fox, Marvin Bagley, Buddy Hield, and Bogdanovich. Again, good players, guys that have a chance to be very good players in that mix, talking about De'Aaron Fox and Trae Young specifically. But, a little, like I said, a little bit of a cautionary tale with all those young guys, and how do you make that leap as a group? I don't think it's a, what does this mean for the Pistons? I don't think it's a reason to not trade certain guys, because I think you should always be playing the asset management game, especially at this phase of where the Pistons are right now. But it's more of a reason for fans to kind of be okay with keeping certain guys around. And we know that Blake Griffin's probably going to be that guy that's kept around for the next couple years. But if the Pistons go into next year with Blake Griffin and still hold on to Tony Snell, and maybe don't find a taker for Markieff Morris, and then add another couple of veterans for the rotation, some free agents or maybe through trades, and I'm not talking about good players that are really expensive, but decent players that can, you know, be professionals and show young guys how to get it done. Maybe if that gives the young guys, you know, give the young guys the rest of the minutes in addition to that. But I feel like that would be okay. So who are these veterans? Who are some of the players that the Pistons should target, assuming that, you know, Andre Drummond's gone going into next season and that Derrick Rose some way or somehow is gone as well. And that leads me to my first takeaway from this one, and that is Reggie Jackson. You know, a lot of dreaming could be done if you're still one of these holdovers, still one of these diehard Reggie Jackson fans who hold on to the 15-16 season and at least the last half season of last year as well, the way he played in the playoffs too. But he had some nice words from the training staff, which we played at the top of the show, which was good to hear. Bernard Condiveau and his staff is kind of a little bit maligned this year. The injuries have taken its toll on the reputation of the Pistons training staff. I'm not one who blames training staff and really rips on training staff, so we don't know what's going on. Certainly the Blake Griffins of the world are injuries kind of waiting to happen. Reggie Jackson, you could throw into that category as well. The staff, of course, deserves some of the credit for Derrick Rose's season as well. But great to see for Reggie Jackson. This is a guy who's had a very maligned career, a complicated guy, has certainly gotten too much grief for the issues of the team in his time with the Pistons, just like Andre Drummond has. I don't see a world where you run back Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson, but assuming that some way, somehow, Andre Drummond is gone, is there a world where Reggie Jackson returns on a much discounted contract, obviously, than what he's being paid right now, $18 million in the last year of his $80 million deal? But is there a world where you can get Reggie Jackson to come back at backup money, at something like $6 million a year for 2 years, maybe turn it up to seven and turn it into a team option for a year or two. A veteran point guard that maybe can be a spot starter while you get a young point guard developing, whether that's Bruce Brown or a draft pick going into next season, maybe Jordan Bones strides into that roster guy who could maybe fight for a spot in the rotation next year. I don't foresee that happening, but certainly possible. I guess that's kind of the second and least important question. I don't really have an answer for you right now, but I think that if you can get the money down to a reasonable level, maybe that is possible. But the more important and more pressing question right now is, can he play good enough to get traded for something at the deadline? $18 million, expiring deal. We know that this isn't the best year to be an expiring deal because there's not a lot of teams yearning for cap room this summer with the limited amount of free agents out there. But if you can take on stomaching bad money, $18 million is a lot. And if you're committing to long-term deals that would match up to $18 million, that's taking on maybe some real bad money out there. Maybe it's a useful player, but maybe it's someone who's a little bit of a wash for whatever reason. just thinking out loud, like the Dwight Powell situation we talked about last night. I'm not talking about specifically trading Powell for Reggie Jackson, but if you took on big money for injured players or players who are nowhere near worth that amount of money, you might be able to get a nice asset in that deal. It might be worth it. Maybe you could talk to a team like San Antonio if they're really desperate to get out from DeMar DeRozan and kind of move on with their team with some more flexibility going forward. Now, San Antonio's played their way into the eighth spot of the Western Conference. That's probably not a good example. But something like sacrificing your expiring contracts, taking on an extra year of DeMar DeRozan, like Langston Galloway and Reggie Jackson for DeMar DeRozan, would that make sense for the Spurs if they really want to just clear the decks and start with a more of a youth movement going forward? If they don't see a path forward for this core in the West, kind of make a proactive move there. San Antonio's got all their first-round picks going forward, all their second-round picks except for 2022. So if you catch a desperate San Antonio team that wants to clear the decks, take on a very good player with a good history in Dwayne Casey and DeMar DeRozan for Langston and Reggie, is there a way that you could kind of use that leverage of them wanting to be desperately moving on from something and squeeze a pick out of them? I don't think it'd become a first if you get DeMar DeRozan, but could you get a second out of that? And could you, you know, think about the asset management game and think about DeMar DeRozan as a guy who's got a bad reputation for the lack of his three-point shooting but still a very good player? Is that something that you might consider? A little bit of a hypothetical here on Three Takeaways, but not hypothetical. Talking more numbers about future hypothetical situations. That's the projections. We're going to talk about that next, the playoff projections. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, hey, a couple of wins these last couple of weeks. Well, I guess they've won 3 out of 4 now with Boston and Atlanta. You lose the Monday game, you win on Wednesday. So starting to get rolling at a time that I warned you might happen. The Pistons might run off some wins here in January, into late January, maybe even into early February as well. So what does this mean? Where does this team stand right now? We know they're 2.5 games out of the playoffs right now with a golden opportunity to knock off the Nets and get right into that eighth spot. Possibly we know that the schedule gets really tough after the All-Star break as well. So where are they at? 538.com, still after this win on Wednesday, after all the action in the NBA on Wednesday night, still projects the Pistons to win just 29 games this season, giving them a 6% chance of making the playoffs. Pretty harsh from Nate Silver's website. That's saying that the Pistons will go 12-25 the rest of the way, and they will finish 7 games behind Brooklyn for the eighth spot, well outside of the playoffs, behind the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls are a half game behind the Pistons right now, but they are projected by 538.com to finish 3 games ahead of your Detroit Pistons. The Pistons have been really bad this year, and they have a 37.7% winning percentage, so 377 if you're using the decimal system. And there, so in 538.com is projecting the Pistons to go 324 in terms of winning percentage the rest of the way. So a full 5%, I guess, 37-32%. So even worse is their projections the rest of the way. That's probably not taking into account trades. That's just current rosters and how they feel that's going to go. You want to get talked off the ledge if you're hoping they make the playoffs. Let's move on to ESPN's BPI, which is a little bit better. Things get rosier in the other projections. This is coming into the day, so it doesn't even factor the fact that the Pistons won what could maybe be perceived by the outside, the computers, as something close to a toss-up. So a nice win for the Pistons there at home against Sacramento. Before they got that win, ESPN's BPI projections said that the Pistons would go 33-49. With a 21.5% chance of making the playoffs, so 1-5. 1 game higher than Chicago in the finishes, but finishing ultimately 2 games behind Brooklyn outside of the Eastern Conference playoffs. BasketballReference.com, somewhere in the middle, a little bit closer to the positive projections of the ESPN's BPI. And BasketballReference.com projects that same 33-49 record for the Pistons with a 19.5% chance of making the playoffs, and also missing the playoffs by 2 games behind the Brooklyn Nets. I wonder how they project these next 2 games against Brooklyn. I would imagine probably a split. The home team's winning those ones. That might be the Vegas favorites here. But if the Pistons have any hope of turning this around and getting to the playoffs, I kind of think that they got to win both these Brooklyn games. And I don't, again, I'm not advocating buying. I'm not advocating not selling. I think you, if there's a trade out there that makes sense for Derrick Rose, if there's a trade out there that makes sense for Andre Drummond, I'll throw Langston Galloway, Markieff Morris, any player on the Pistons roster. If there's a trade out there that makes sense, you do it with eyes on 2 years down the road. However, I just don't see enough of a reason to and you make those organizational moves that ultimately make your team worse, and it kind of the losing and the tanking takes care of itself. But I think Dwayne Casey's team should try hard to win games, and if you sneak in and make a push towards the playoffs, so be it. No big deal. Nothing wrong with being one of the hottest teams in the second half of the NBA. Again, not predicting it. Don't think there's a realistic universe that this happens, but wouldn't it be fun to have Reggie Jackson come back, to have Derrick Rose not get the offers that were deemed necessary by the front office and continue to play well, Andre Drummond have a little bit of a rebirth? I mean, we saw some positives from Reggie Jackson. Maybe some other guys get healthy, and it could be a fun stretch of the season. I'm not predicting it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're back to the doldrums. I don't think there's any way this team goes 4-0 in this homestand and the rosiness will stop. But, hey, fun to dream. Fun to think about the spring and games mattering and all that stuff after all the misery we've been through this season. But speaking of misery, come back and join us for tomorrow's episode as we look ahead to the weekend. But that'll do it for our Thursday show. We appreciate you guys joining us. We're on call. We're ready for emergency podcasts the end of this week, end of this weekend as well. So look for that if some big news breaks. But that'll do it for today. Your host, Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening, signing off for today, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.